I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whether it's relationships, work, or just with friends, there are plenty of things that I've done that I'll suddenly think about and feel ashamed of. But surely I'm not the only one who has this happen. So I'm going to be talking to a whole bunch of people and asking them about what they're ashamed of and how they think that's influenced the person they are today. This episode's guest is actually two people, close friends and very successful entertainers and business people, Gretel Colleen, former writer and everything else under the sun, and Alexandra Chelios, CEO and founder of online publication The Big Smoke.
So I was very ashamed about that, like a really deep shame that nobody understood, but I think it was an ego thing.
And when you're young, it's very hard to put things in perspective, and you don't know to forgive yourself.
I'll always remember, I've always been angry at myself, 25 years or however old I am later.
You're listening to Shame Feeder.
Hello and welcome to Shame Feeder, a podcast where I just try to explore shame as much as I can, because I'm very, and I say this each time, very interested with the connection between people's lives, people's success, what they're proud of, and if there's anything that shame has to do with that. And today I'm doing a twofer. I've got two very accomplished women who are definitely leaving me feeling a little overwhelmed with how much they've managed to achieve compared to what I've managed, and very excited to have them in here. They're sharing knowing glances already. I want to start firstly with Alexandra Chelios, the founder and CEO of The Big Smoke. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And Gretel Colleen.
Hello.
I don't even know. I've given Alex the introduction of founder and CEO of The Big Smoke, but you've done so much, Gretel. Like, what do people normally introduce you as?
Guru.
Life changer.
Yeah. Icon.
The Australian Oprah. Yeah.
Okay. / Mother Therese. Oh, she's Sister Therese now. Mm. Well, you would know that better than I because
do.
You're
very Catholic.
You're very religious.
Okay.
Saint Therese, whatever.
Saint Therese. Saint G is what we call her.
Yeah. Yes, and
Saint G to make it a bit more street, is that?
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
With a hand gesture.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think someone was talking about success the other day, and people were, the question was, when did you know you were successful? And I don't know if people ever know they're successful. No. Like, I always feel like I'm just beginning at what I do. Do you feel like that, Alex?
You never get to a point where you go, I've achieved so much. It's like, what's the next thing? You're always moving forward.
But that's a different thing. Compulsion, obsession, your insatiable desire to work. Your motivation is different to mine, but that might be because you're a bit younger than me. Not as wise.
I'm loving just sitting back and watching this even debate on it. But starting with you, Alex, I mean, I don't want to go making assumptions, but you are the founder and CEO of The Big Smoke. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good. but I do love finding out from each person I have in, what are you proud of that you're doing or have done?
I mean, I'm really proud of what I have created with The Big Smoke. I'm really proud of all the people that are involved in it because it's not just me. So there is a real sense of gratification around what I do every day, and that what I do for work, if it is compulsive work, whatever it might be, it does result in work for other people, which I really like. So that's probably my main thing that I'm proud of, more so than anything that I've accomplished on my own. So it just feels like other people have had that ripple effect from what I've done, and then that's really important to me.
Okay, and then, and this is the same answer. Some people give the same answer for this, but you've said what you're proud of. What would you consider your biggest achievement?
Giving jobs to people. That would be it.
Yeah.
Good jobs.
Yeah. Well, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people that didn't think that they would do that. And one of the things I really like is that there's been a lot of people who entered my world and didn't think of themselves as writers or creators, and then suddenly that's what they're doing, and then they've started from doing it with us and then moved on to other things, and it's kind of catapulted them into other areas, and I'm very proud of that. So I'm very proud of the people that I'm a part of, like that I get to work with, and I think that that's my main achievement.
Yeah, okay. So would you be able to ballpark like how many jobs you prefer? Just out of curiosity, I'm just...
I like that we've given a platform to over 350 writers, and I like that I've got jobs for over 15 or 20 people at the moment. And I like the fact that people even internationally get to write for us and do stuff. And I think there's something very exciting about people coming together and creating together and then putting it out in the world and then seeing how people respond to it. But that's probably my biggest thing. And as commercial as it is, and it is commercial, it is actually creating the frameworks for people to do other things and equipping them to do other things.
Okay. And if you're not comfortable going specific on this, that's fine. But when you say you consider a big achievement, you know, providing a platform for people to then go into bigger things, is there one name that stands out in terms of like people who've maybe gone on to other things that you're like, I'm glad that I helped them get their start?
We have a program called TBS Next Gen, and some of the kids that have started writing for us were 8 to 18. And a lot of them who started writing for us last year are now submitting articles to The Guardian and other places and getting published. Wow. And they never would have thought to do that because they weren't studying journalism. That wasn't their shtick. Mm. So I'm proud of that they feel that they have a voice. There was one guy in the US, Sean Davis, who was a Purple Heart veteran, who wrote an open letter to Donald Trump. And that got picked up around America and all the news shows. So he actually had to go on the TV and talk about his letter on The Big Smoke to Trump. And that was really exciting for me because it gave him a platform to do something that may not have gotten cut through if he didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah, okay. That's really cool. I now you mention it, I remember the Purple Heart thing sort of coming around on social media. That's awesome. So with you, I mean, again, I don't want to make assumptions, but I had a bit of a feeling The Big Smoke would be pretty evident or prevalent in, you know, the pride and achievement stuff. But Gretel... You've managed a lot of things, and I when it comes to you, I'm not really sure where to go in terms of asking, so I'm just genuinely curious, what are you proud of?
What am I proud of? That is interesting. I do feel we need to say that strange noise in the background is a dog.
So Betty's snoring, just so we know.
And she's doing that like whoop
noise. I don't have wheezy problems.
Well, I mean, we say it's a dog, but it's really Alex. Mm. Every time I speak, you'll notice she sabotages my replies.
Yeah, about me.
What are you proud of, Gretel? What am I proud of? In terms of what I've achieved, I don't really think like that, but I think it's probably the upbringing I had, which was a very modest kind of humble upbringing. So I don't really think in terms of what I'm proud of. I mean, I'm proud that I've brought goodness and kindness to the world, obviously. In terms of myself, I'm a little bit proud of my bravery and my perseverance, but I'm also fully aware that they're kind of things that you're born with or not born with. Mm. So I'm therefore also aware that I can't really take credit for them. So I'm just proud of whoever gave them to me. So good on that. And I know this sounds a bit waffly, but one, we're constantly evolving, and all of the different things that I've done in my life, so I've published books and hosted television and performed all around the world and done all this hoo-ha, but they're all learning experiences and pushing boundaries, and so I'm proud, I guess, that I challenge myself, but I haven't arrived yet. I'm still on the way. I feel like I've been researching what it is I'm going to do next for all of my life and all of my career. In terms of actual tangible achievements, I'm proud of my children. They're adults now. And I'm proud of them. I mean, today I am. They seem quite good. And I love them.
That's interesting, because that's probably... And I guess it's... I'm just thinking now, it's almost an oversight in my way, but you're probably the first mum I've had for the podcast.
Yeah. I also raised my children by myself. And when I was doing that, and of course I still am a single mum, but for 20, 30 years... It's not 30, it's nearly 30. I just did the job that was in front of me, but I had to work and I was high profile and doing all of that and finding spare socks and doing homework and hosting television, doing all of that, I'm kind of amazed that I did it and that they're okay. I, of course, suffered, but they're fine. But I do feel like hugging myself a bit sometimes too, because that was particularly hard. It was a very, very hard thing to do. And I have no witnesses and I have no trophies. I have my beautiful children who I think are fabulous, but it's something that nobody can ever look at and I can't quantify. So it's not really an achievement I can share because nobody knows how hard that actually was, except me.
Yeah, I totally get that. However, I know before we recorded this, we were all talking and we were saying, you know, I'm not really intending to have kids. And that's not to say that I don't have a lot of respect for people who do. That's half the reason I don't want to. I look at myself and I'm like, oh no, I couldn't. Like, I look at parents and I think that's a huge achievement to get through raising kids and, you know, having to put in so much empathy and time and, like, caring and to continue to care. I don't know if I'd be able to continue to care.
Oh, it's a weird thing. I mean, you're biologically designed once these little babies appear fundamentally to be looking after them. But it's the financial thing too, and every decision is yours as a single parent. The financial responsibility, the time, the logistics, the moral compass you have to be. But I must say, no, all power to you for thinking or deciding that you don't want to have children, because there's a lot of pressure in society that once you're at a certain age, right, when's it all happening? Yeah. And people can be very intrusive. So I respect you saying, well, actually it doesn't quite fit my shoe.
Thank you very much.
Which is a new saying.
And it started here. If anyone asks in the years to come, say, where did fit my shoe come from? Shame feeder. Greta Colleen, I'll give you the credit because it was
thank
great.
You. Do you agree, Alex?
Yeah, I agree. But I think also the other thing that I just wanted to mention was that it's not just about being a parent, but the type of parent you are. Like, Gretel's brought these kids up who are amazingly strong and give back so to society already. And I think that's really a huge achievement.
Yeah.
Because not every parent can say that.
No.
Thank you, Alex.
Oh. Well, look, it's... and I'm loving this one already because it's a bit different, obviously, because I've got two people. But also, yeah, it's very much for getting the pride and the achievement stuff very differently to everything else I've done. So I'm interested to see how it goes when we delve into shame.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I've been recording tin whistle pool flutes and they'll be my super sound effects.
Keep up to date on the latest episodes by subscribing to Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and all other apps.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, as I said, this is already one of the more fascinating ones of these that I've recorded. It's gone in directions, honestly, I wasn't necessarily expecting, and I don't know why I wasn't.
Were you expecting?
I honestly didn't know.
Did you think about it before you did?
I did, absolutely. I wasn't sure. I think because with everyone else has... And I guess because it's sort of the aim of the show, but everyone else has said that the thing they're proud of has always been linked to career.
I'm proud of my pug. She's been like really great, and I've raised her great.
She's not that great. She's noisy. And
I'm not saying that as any form of criticism. I think it's great.
No, like we took it as praise.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You just ruined it.
I like to just anyway.
It is interesting because so often when someone mentions someone, they'll mention them by career and not actually what their other qualities might be, that they're funny or kind or generous or inspiring or compassionate or whatever it is. Oh, they're head of so-and-so department or whatever it is, as though that speaks volumes.
That's their defining factor.
Yeah. Well, that's why, and it's got me thinking of a bit, the podcast I listen to, Will Anderson does, called Willosophy. I love that he opens it by saying, who are you? And then just waits to see what they say to introduce themselves. I really wanted to do it, but I also didn't want to just steal someone else's idea.
He would have sued you.
No good not to steal.
No, but I find it really fascinating in like people's identity and that sort of thing, which is what I'm trying to explore here as well. So I'm interested to see what direction we're going with shame as well. Because you guys, like a fair few people I've recorded this with, have already said before we've recorded, there's no shame. So we'll see how we go. Might start with you, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to shame, is there anything you've done that you think back on and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? Or, just as an addendum, is there anything you used to think back on?
I think we all go through a phase in our life where we're caught up on things that we've done, whether that's the thing we've said to somebody or the relationship we've had with somebody, and we're not proud of how it turned out or how we behaved in that. And I've been in that situation where I feel ashamed of what I may have said or done. But in terms of my life and thinking about a moment where I feel great shame, there's only really been one moment for me.
Okay.
And it was when I was 7 years old, and in my local community, the community were having a rally to protest a rubbish tip being brought into the area.
Okay.
And my parents were there. I don't even know why they were there, because they're the least likely people now to like care about it.
Just saw a crowd and joined it?
Yeah, it was like neighborhood.
Maybe watch. They were just dropping rubbish on.
Yeah, they didn't realize. But it was in the town hall, and I left them for a second, and I went up to the side of the stage, and I said to the people, can I speak on stage about this event? And I didn't know what the event was about. And they said, sure. And they were really shocked. And so they let me go up on the stage because I was this like, you know, over the top 7 year old. And I thought I was fab. I used to put like, And I got
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I used to put a one person show on of Grease with, I played every character.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't work out. Anyway. But yeah, I was on stage and they said to me, what do you think about what's happening? And all I remember saying was, I think it's really bad what you were all doing. I think it's really wrong to bring this into the community, because what's going to happen is you're going to see flies swimming in the air. And everyone thought it was so cute and clapped, and I got off stage and they gave me a gift.
Oh, okay.
Like someone brought me some stupid souvenir spoon from something.
Oh, I think that's a bit rude.
Yes.
Calling it stupid.
Yeah. But like, why?
Probably everyone a needs rubbish. A spoon.
And it was a souvenir spoon that I couldn't use. But it was just so random. Like, it was so disconnected from what I was talking about.
Like, more random than you getting up on stage? Yeah. I mean, I think all power to them for improvising.
Maybe
she was probably
it was,
eating with it at the time.
gave me her yoga spoon.
It was actually forward thinking. They gave you something that you considered useless. They're like, one day she'll realize that she's just been given
it.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Put into a tip.
It was very beautiful. But I will always remember, I've always been angry at myself 25 years or however old I am later, because I didn't say flying around. And it's such a stupid little thing. It's like nobody would remember it. Nobody would care. But I just remember that. And then I remember, so I was very ashamed about that, like a really deep shame that nobody understood. But I think it was an ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I remembered only recently was when I was in year four, again, because I was so over the top as a kid, people would always want to put me in my place. You know, when teachers were like, she's the one that's going to, you know, do the Liza Minnelli thing. And I remember going to school with all these cupcakes, and I said, it's my birthday. And they said, well, the fact that you've had to make a big deal about it means we're not going to celebrate. And the teacher wouldn't let anyone sing me happy birthday.
What?
And I remember...
Why is that shame for you?
I was so... At the time, didn't know anything other than shame. So it was the first time as a kid that I felt embarrassed in shame. I was ashamed. Like, it was my birthday. I didn't understand why someone would do that.
You'd been told off.
And yeah, you for felt... being excited about my birthday. So,
yeah.
So they're the two moments in my childhood that I remember feeling shame. And one of them was brought upon myself through an ego thing. And then the other one was brought upon, obviously, just a teacher that wasn't that nice.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that was the only time I've really felt serious shame.
That's... Look, I love both those stories. Because they I think, show... Well, at least the fly one shows a lot about you. I think you've probably moved on from the birthday cake. Is that...
Yeah, I am. Now I just, like, make them sing me happy.
That's why you've got employees now.
Yeah. So you... they have to. Otherwise, get fired.
I think flies swimming around is... It made you sound like a great poet, accidentally.
It was a philosophy thing. Like, well, I've been reading. I've been reading a lot of Jean-Paul Sartre, and I was like...
So did you, with either of those, did you ever talk to anyone?
No one. I never spoke about it until recently.
Wow.
About either of them.
Was that just because you just didn't think to share it? Or?
No, I was really embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my mum about the cakes at school because I didn't want her to feel angry.
Oh.
And she'd made the effort of cooking all these cupcakes for my whole class. And then the spoon thing, I just didn't want to... Well, not the spoon thing, it was the fly thing. Yeah.
I think we're actually getting some deep-seated anger towards
really
the spoon.
I get really angry when people don't gift properly. but yeah, that really bothered me to the point where I didn't want to bring it up because it showed such a great flaw in a moment that was meant to be confident and strong.
That's really interesting. So, yes. I mean, those are two incidents like there. And yeah, it is in a way. And we've got Gretel looking now just like...
Well, I'm very wise, aren't I? And I'm modest too. But I haven't always been wise. But it's interesting, as you get older, both of Alex's examples are from when she's young. And when you're young, it's very hard to put things in perspective and you don't know to forgive yourself. When you get older, hopefully you can say, well, with the information I had at hand, I behaved the way that I thought was appropriate. That would be the hope.
Mm.
So as a child, I mean, I spent much of my child kind of riddled with inadequacies, but I was fundamentally... I just felt I wasn't good enough for anything in any capacity. So... that was very hard, but if I were just to think of how trite that could have been, I still remember in like first class when they said which boys in the class had been class captain that year, and I remember putting my hand up, and it was boys in the class, and then someone said, "You're not a boy," and I was mortified by that about that for such a long time. But it was a different time then too, because. Well, Alex didn't share her shame with anybody, but I feel like my children and younger generations now are much more willing to share and seek comfort and guidance. And it's so important to be able to teach these things to each other because we're all these massive libraries of information and experience, and we don't call upon, in our culture, we don't call upon elders and we don't call upon other people's wisdom or perspective, and that would really have helped you in your case. And
that's why you're here with us today. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm on Earth. No, it's... I think forgiving yourself, if you know that it is... Your intentions are good... Then pride, as you said, Alex, is one of those things which is ego and pride, and how important are they within the fundamental equation? Like, what was the image? I mean, maybe you were showing off with the cupcakes. Because, hello, that
was my birthday.
Alex has no regret.
I just want to point out that Alex makes us celebrate her birthday, like, every month.
Okay, so we'll... I think that sort of covers shame for both of you. I want to do the brief run around to tying everything together next, see if there's any connection.
Okay.
For extra content, check out the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Okay, so you've got a lot to be proud of, Alex, and I mean that from an outsider looking in. Like, everything that you've got, that you've managed, is a huge achievement. And you've shared some of the things that you are proud of. Yeah. And... what I really want to see is there any connection between the stories you've shared and what you have now? So just taking a moment to think, like, you still think back on, you know, messing up the word flies swimming in the air. Is there any way that's influenced you, do you think?
I think one of the things that I do now, which I'm kind of... I don't know if it's a good thing all the time, but I do tend to move forward really quickly with work stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll do something and then I'll move on to the next thing. And I'll make sure that thing I just left was working and sustainable, but then I won't really think about it again unless something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I do tend to do that a lot. So when I write articles, for example, I don't spend a lot of time on them. I write what I think and then I never read them again. So I think maybe I became somebody who didn't want to agonize over things.
Yeah.
But also because I was always moving on to the next thing. And I don't know whether it's connected, but I definitely don't feel that way now. I stuff up all the time. I always say the wrong thing. Like, I'll be on air talking about something and I'll say the wrong word and I won't ever think about it again. It's probably way more embarrassing than what I did at 7 because like everyone can hear it.
Yeah.
But I won't care.
Yeah.
So I think I've moved forward from... I think maybe because in that moment when you're a kid, you so want everyone to see how impactful you are and how you're going to come with this great message and I'm going to be the only 7-year-old who can be on par with all the local politicians. And I stuffed it up. So I think it was more around that than necessarily just the word, because I say the wrong phrase all the time, don't I?
Not all the time.
Most of the time.
No, yeah. But you speak in code. I do. And you know what you mean, but not everyone else does.
Or I'll say, you know that saying that's like that, and instead of actually saying the saying because I can't think of it, I'll actually describe the saying, which takes longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you send things without any emotional context at all, yeah, don't you? Yeah. It's like, and then I'll say, but what did you mean by that word? Oh, you use the word apple. And I say, but what did you mean by putting the word apple in that text? And you say, oh, you know, blue. What? What? It's like that, isn't it?
So I am a bit like that.
Are you like a drug taker?
I'm like one of those people who write things and then I don't think about them again.
Yeah, off your plate, off your plate.
Yeah, I've done it.
So... I'm getting the feeling that even as a kid, you were probably always on the path to, like, the life you have
greatness.
Now.
Greatness.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, wow. Managing a company that's all about putting out opinion and people's thoughts and words, but also yourself in the way you're then doing the other arms of that company, talking, doing spots on radio, doing all the other... The performance element, I guess. Would you say... And I could be completely off base here, but... You're always bound to stuff up, like we all do, have that stumble at some point. And would that incident with the flies swimming in the sky have been the first one?
Yeah, and I think also I've achieved a level of detachment from a lot of things that I used to not have.
So
yeah, as a teen. So like maybe less so in my personal life, but in my work life, I can be quite detached from people's comments about me, if they're good or bad.
So could it be possible that that particular incident...
has made you a sociopath.
It could have. Yeah.
Let's not blame the incident.
And now I'm always ungrateful for the gifts I get. Like, it's really changed.
No. Harping on.
I'm about the same thing.
But no, I mean, more like it's you could have not learnt from that, or it could have scared you off. Instead... You had that moment and it's sort of, because it's that first moment, given you that time to learn to maybe be detached and continue to get to the stage where you are at now.
I think one of the best things you can do in life is to let things go. Mm. And I'm not always great at that in every area of my life. Yeah. But when it comes to work, I'm good at that. And I think that one of the things I hear a lot of women talk about is imposter syndrome. Is it imposter syndrome? And when they feel fraudulent and they think they'll sit in a room full of men and I've done this, and then they'll feel like, oh, they're going to be caught out because they're not as great as what they are. Right. Whereas I feel the opposite. I'm like, they don't realise how great I am. Like, I'm just saying, I have the opposite problem to imposter fraud. Yeah. So I don't know whether that came from that moment, but I think that I definitely had... very loving childhood, so I felt very good about myself. But it does, it just changes, things like that do change who you are, because they remind you of what's possible in terms of being publicly embarrassed about something.
That's fascinating. I also, like, and I never want to take a term that's used specifically for women, but I find the term, the imposter thing, I think I've heard it once or twice, but I've never had it properly explained. And I honestly feel like doing these podcasts with everyone that I'm talking to that are so... that have achieved a lot, constantly waiting for someone to call out and just be like, you're just a regional radio host. So I find that, but it's interesting. And there's a whole other kettle of fish as well that I won't delve into in this podcast. So I'll probably cut all of this bit out. But
no, don't, because kettle of fish is not a phrase that's used often enough in a podcast.
And I want to be associated with
especially that. Because we've had flies swimming. And now we've got a kettle of fish.
Yeah. And what was the shoe one?
The shoe fits. Oh, I didn't invent that.
No, you said something else.
Yeah.
I did. I said it.
You did. You it had a unique tint to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already lost. Like that. When I'm editing, I'll message you and I'll let you know.
Yeah, you'll make it into a picture.
Yeah.
We should probably an inspirational quote. Like an aeroplane and skyride it.
Oh. One day.
Yeah.
So, Gretel, would you say maybe similar to Alex, like you had an incident early on that even now you can remember happening, and maybe it was just that first incident that you then learnt from to be like, it doesn't matter, or is it just not that important?
No, that's just the only incident that pops into my mind. But as I did say, I had tremendously low self-esteem and low self-worth. So I wouldn't say that particular incident, but that feeling, which, Alex, you probably remember, that feeling of humiliation. And remember, nobody else has even noticed those things.
Never remember it.
Nobody else. But it's all within you, and the torment. And I have not wanted to lead a life with that, with the burden of that. Life is a challenge. Life is exciting and full of possibilities. But you need energy. And exhausting yourself with emotional baggage is such a weight and such a restriction. So much of my life, as I said, has been about building my self-esteem. I always thought I was like a little creature made of putty or plasticine that was squished out of shape, and so, or whatever those squishy balls are, and then over time allowing the shape to actually emerge, take the pressure off the shape. Can you visualize what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So that I can be who I'm meant to be. And to be honest, even at the ripe old age I am of 21, I feel like it's only now that I am becoming the shape that I was meant to be then. So that particular incident is really just an indication of a whole lot, and of that agony of inadequacy that you feel. So that's really the impact for me, I think, is, okay, now I'm ready to begin. This is who I was meant to be, confident, funny, wanting to listen, wanting to contact people and be in relationships with them. And many people live in fear, and fear, like we were saying, of being humiliated, fear of being caught out. They're such a waste of energy. But we really have to, I think, concentrate on making those go away. They don't just go away. No. And sometimes I come across people who are my age and older, and I think, what, you've still got that stupid bit of baggage? Like, you should have looked at that by now. Get on with it and change it, because we can change these things. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are very afraid of examining who they are and why they do things. And I think that's what stops them from moving forward.
Yeah.
I remember somebody saying to me, don't you feel, bad if you try to move yourself forward and other people don't move themselves forward? And I'm like, why would that even, that wouldn't even be a blip on my radar. I really believe that everybody is, able to move forward and have the same opportunities if they want to. So I don't think like that.
Look, I've really enjoyed talking to you two today.
You're very fortunate.
Oh, thank you.
To have been a part of this with us.
Have you ever finished a podcast and said, I have not enjoyed talking to you at all?
Only in my head. Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time today and for sharing.
Pleasure.
Because
thank you.
I know for some of you as well, maybe finding something to talk about in the terms of shame may have been taking a bit of time to think of. So thank you for that as well.
Well, thank you for caring.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Shame Feeder. Keep up to date by subscribing or liking the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.